Have you ever woken up out of a dream and just didn't know where you were?
Yeah.
Have you ever slept so hard that it was just hard to wake up? Have you ever just gone to sleep and it seems like when it was time to get up, it was as if you've never slept at all? It had gone so fast. All of the above, somebody said. Well, Paul's writing to this church and he's using a metaphor. He's using a word that everybody can relate to, sleep. And he's telling the church in Rome, he's telling them, listen, let's read it again. Wake up. It's high time to wake up. Let me read it to you in the Message Bible because I think it's a pretty generic translation for our 21st century verbiage. So let's read it in the Message. And I don't know if they've got it on the overhead or not, but let me read it to you. It says, but make sure that you don't get so absorbed and get exhausted in taking care of all your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of time and doze off. Oblivious to God. The night is over. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute. Must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence and sleeping around in dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. So today, I'm just going to look at a couple of things about this passage of Scripture as women. And as women that are busy, that are raising families, that are raising children, that are married, that are single, that are working, you are wearing many, many hats, and you have many different varieties of lifestyle in this room. But every single one of us has the opportunity to either be asleep or to be awake. And God is warning us and telling us through the apostle because the word is timeless. It doesn't matter whether he wrote it 2,000 years ago to the slaves that were in Caesar's court, the Christians, to the Roman citizens that were wealthy and that were getting saved, to a culture that was totally different than ours where there was polygamy and slavery, and where their entertainment system was actually a coliseum where they would bind up Christians in animal skins and feed them to the wild beasts. He's writing to this church and telling them to wake up. So if they need to wake up, how much more do I in the 21st century in a world that isn't all that hard to live in? And I know life is tough, but we're not living in Rome. We're not slaves. Our kids aren't being tied up in animal skins. We're not being thrown in prison because we're Christians. Actually, life in America, when you look in comparison to what it could be in other places in the world, isn't that hard in comparison to the Roman church that he was writing to. And if they can be asleep, how much more can I be asleep? Now, it's interesting because every time I preach, I usually have to live my message, and I flunked it completely. Because I didn't get much sleep last night. And then I had a great fight with Jim just before I came. Anybody ever fight with their husband? Well, Pastor and Debbie fight sometimes, usually before I'm going to preach. So I am coming to you, and I am speaking to me as well as you. I'm not coming here saying I've got this down. I'm coming here as one of the girls in the house saying, wow, this is a warning. And this is instruction to my life. And at whatever age I am right now, I need it more than I've ever needed it. It's time to wake up because the day is at hand. And I believe the Lord's return is near. And I believe that the world that we're living in is a dangerous world, and it is a hard-to-live-in world. Please don't misunderstand what I said. I know your lives can be extremely challenged, of course. But in comparison, at this point in our history, you and I have many blessings that I take for granted, like turning on a switch and I get electricity. Turning on a thermostat and I get air conditioning. Are you with me? And sometimes I can become so soft and spoiled, I don't even realize the blessings that are all around me because I fail to see them. You okay? So What does he mean by waking up? What is he talking about? Well, I'm going to give you three things today. Number one, he tells us to wake up. Why? And I'm going to give you a reason. Now, when I go to the Word of God and when I look at what God is saying, I don't believe God is here with a big stick wanting to condemn us and make us feel bad. That's not who he is. He loves us. And that's exactly what I want to tell you this morning, is why wake up? Why do I need to wake up? And I want to come at it at this angle. How many of you have ever been in love? Let me see your hands. If you've really been head over heels in love where you didn't think you could stand it, you didn't think it was possible to love that much. Now, maybe you're not still in love, but you were at one time. All right? There, now everybody's hands going up. Yeah. Do you remember when you were in love that you couldn't wait to be with that person? Do you remember that? You'd go to bed and you just couldn't wait until you woke up to be with that person. Well, I believe that's what Jesus is telling us. Is that we are so loved and so adored by heaven that he's saying, wake up. I'm waiting for you to wake up and be with me and spend the day with me. I just can't wait until you wake up, Debbie, so that you and I can do what we need to do today, because I'm going to walk through you today on this earth and fulfill my will through your life. Like a bridegroom that can't wait to see his bride, I believe that's the way that Jesus loves me and wants me to wake up out of this slumber that I put myself in for many different reasons. I was just at Washington last week. My mom and dad, my dad's on hospice. I've talked to you about my aging parents. They're 85 and my dad's quite ill, and he's seen his angel, and I mean, they're just dealing with life. But I realized when I was up there how difficult it is in different stages of life. And I thought, Lord, as we age and we can't do what we used to do, in a world that values people by what they can do, what they look like, how successful they are, what happens in my life when I can no longer be the person I was in my 20s or my 30s or my 40s or my 50s or my 60s? What happens if I'm not the norm? And I realized that actually, probably every one of us feels at some time like we have no value. Like, does anybody know me? Does anybody even know I'm here? If I wasn't here, would anybody even miss me? Does anything that I do in my world and in my life, does it matter? Does it count? Is anybody going to even remember it? Is it going to change anything? What am I doing? Does anybody know me? And does anybody care? Has anybody ever felt like that besides me? Well, I believe that God wants us to know something this morning about waking up, about that. Because this is what it says. It says, wake up. Why? Because somebody does know you. Somebody really does know you. Somebody that isn't on this planet, that isn't going to die, that isn't here today and gone tomorrow, the one that made the heavens and the earth, the one that created everything, the one that knows you from the beginning to the end, the one that has every one of your days already written out, knows what you're going to say before it's even out of your mouth, knows the way that you're going, knows the trouble that you're in, understand what has gone on and what is about to take place in your life. That one knows you. That's a reason to get out of bed and wake up to be with that one. Look what Job said. In Job chapter 23, verse 19, he said, but he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Job said this after he lost all his kids, after all of his wealth was gone, after his body was completely smitten with boils and disease, after everything that could ever happen to a human being had happened to him. Job said to his friends who were in error, he said, but he knows the way that I take. He knows what's in front of me. He knows what's behind me. He knows what's to my north, to my south, to my east, and to my west. He knows, and he will take care of me. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, he didn't know the conversation Satan had had with God about him. He didn't see what was going on in heaven. He could only see the earth side of things. But faith came out of Job's mouth, and he says, but he knows the way that I take. Why is it time to wake up? Because he knows the way that you're taking. You feel like nobody understands? They probably don't. Nobody knows you like he knows you. Nobody gets you like he gets you. Nobody's going to care about you like he cares about you. Nobody, because he's your God. He's your creator. But he's the reason to get out of bed. He's the reason to wake up. And he's the reason to stand up and be the Christian that he's called you to be, because he knows you. Man, it's hard to see my folks. Broke my heart. I cried for days because I realized that we put such value on who we are and what we look like and what we do, how old we are, how much money we have, how we look. Be a little different and see how much value you suddenly have. The value that is determined is based on the price that will be paid for it. Is that not true? We've taught you that for years. My house used to be worth a lot of money. It's worth about 50% less than it was 4 years ago. Why? Because of a depression in real estate in the Inland Empire and in California. So what's the value of my house now? Is it worth what it was 4 years ago? No, it's worth what I could get for it if I sold it today. That's the value. Is that not true? Well, the value then is determined by the price paid. So whether you are pretty or not, whether you are young or old, whether you're in your prime or you're in your latter years, whether you are healthy or you're not healthy, whether you are single or whether you're married with a flock of kids and a husband that adores you, whether you go home tonight and you're going home to nobody and nothing, or whether you go home to a family that's going to greet you and celebrate you, let me tell you something. You are valuable because he has paid the price for you of his own life, and he knows you, and he knows the way you take, and that's why we get up in the morning, that's why we do what we do, and that's why we live our lives to serve him, is because he knows us. He loves us. We sing about that this morning. Your love never fails. It never gives up. But do you know it? Do you really know that? Do you know how much you're adored by heaven? Do you know what heaven paid for you? Do you know that he hovers over you? Do you know that he watches over you? Do you know that every hair on your head is counted? Do you know he knows your way? He's in control and he's not going to let go of you no matter what hell is doing to you. Amen. Do you know that? Because Paul said, when you know the love of God that passes understanding, when you know the breadth of it and the height of it and the depth of it and the length of it, when you know that, church, you'll be filled with the fullness of God. And you'll be able to believe, because he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all we hope or ask or think. But if we don't know it and we don't believe it, and listen, we live in a world of unbelief. We live in a religious world where you show up, you open your Bibles, we hear the word of God, but how much goes into our hearts and our lives? How passionate am I for him? How much do I love him because he loves me with everything? Are you with me? Are you with me? Why do I wake up? Because I am known by God, because he loves me. And my value doesn't come from my age or my looks or my success or lack of it. My value comes because of who knows me. The King of the universe knows you and loves you and is waiting for you and I to wake up. Number two, let's go on. It says in Romans chapter 13, let's go there again. I don't know if you can put it back up for me, but it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now he's giving us instructions not just to wake up, but why? Because the night is far spent, the day is at hand. He's talking about what day? What day do you think he's talking about? Anybody know? the day of the Lord, the day of His coming. They believed He was coming at any moment, and they lived their lives that way. But it's been 2,000 years, and people say, where is His return? Sure, you Christians believe in the rapture, and they make movies, and they make fun of it. And every scenario that you can think of over the generations has been formulated by that generation on how this could be the time. I'm talking about unbelief. I'm talking about a callousness of heart as Christians that creeps into our hearts so that we don't believe God and we don't even realize how hardened we are with unbelief and doubt because we live in a world that doesn't believe. Are you hearing me? He says, cast off the work of darkness, for the day is at hand. Yeah, it's been 2,000 years, so I have to tell my mind and my flesh, listen, this is either all true or it's none of it true. It either is or it isn't. He either is or He's not. I'm either going to do all or nothing. Because lukewarm, half-hearted believers get nowhere, and He vomits us out of His mouth. So in the 21st century, in San Bernardino, I'm either going to be a flame and a passion for Him at 61 years of age, or I might as well just quit and go do something else because I'm wasting His time and yours. Are you hearing me? Now, what is He saying? Cast off the works of darkness. Don't disqualify yourself. What does that mean? First of all, wake up, He says. Why? Because I love you and I'm waiting for you to get up, church. Number two, He says, cast off the works of darkness, Deborah Cobray. Don't disqualify yourself. What He means by that is I am the only one that can disqualify myself from the benefits, the blessings, and the power of the kingdom of God. Me. Not Satan. Not you. Me. That old adage that we teach you here. When you spit at me, you do not make me angry, you make me wet. How I respond is determined by my attitude and my character. Are you with me? I am the only one that can disqualify myself from the kingdom benefits. Now, what does it mean to be disqualified? It means to render unqualified or unfit, to declare unqualified or ineligible. To deprive of legal rights, powers, or privileges. You ever wonder why the power of God, the privilege of God, the blessing of God may not be in your life right now? Could it be for me that maybe there is some works of darkness that I've allowed to disqualify my heart and my soul? Because it's rendered me ineligible and deprived me of the power of the kingdom of God. And I've allowed it. So what does that mean? Let me read it to you. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day. Not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So what does that mean? To cast off the works of darkness because it will disqualify me from the power of God that He wants me to have in my life. Make no provision for the flesh. He named some things. He talks about, let's just look at this for just a second. He says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry. What is revelry? Partying. All you want to do is have fun. He says, you don't live your life to have fun. Fun comes. Fun's a part of living. God wants us to play, but not in revelry and not in drunkenness. In other words, don't make a stupor of your mind. Why would you put into your body what is not going to cause you to think clearly? Why would you do that? All things are allowable for me, but not everything's profitable for me. What is it in your life? Just think about it. Just do your own little mental check. What is it? You know, food can be a drug, girls. It's the Christian drug. It's legal. We can overeat, and it's called surfeiting. It can make us like we're drunk, sleepy, lazy. And we don't like ourselves because we can't get into our clothes. It's a trap. He says, cast off those things. They disqualify you from the power of God that is available to your life. And he goes on and he says, let's walk properly. Put on the Lord Jesus. Put him on. And make no provision for the flesh. Well, okay, so how do I do that? I hear what you're saying, but come on. Look, I just flunked every test I was given in the last 24 hours. I flunked it. Your pastor flunked it. Okay? I fought with my husband. He told me to be quiet. I didn't. Oh, no, I had the last word. Ah, there's the Holy Spirit saying, shut up. Going, no, he's wrong. No. You know, my self-righteous attitude came up, and guess what? He went to his man cave, and I lost him for the morning. And I didn't care. Oh, come on, you're just exactly like I am, and you know it. We do care. Cast off the works of darkness. Make no provision for the flesh. Your flesh has a voice, and it will yell at you. What am I listening to, and what am I obeying? Make no provision. Don't go there. So how do I cast this off? What do I do? Well, I just want you to just understand some things. Number one, when I understand that I am holy, blameless, and above reproach, I'm going to act like it. When I understand that I'm holy, blameless, and above reproach, now, not one of us in here probably feels holy, blameless, and above reproach. Do you? I hope you do, because you're supposed to. But most of us are condemned, feeling guilty, or self-critical about something. Hello? I'm talking about casting off the work of darkness. This is darkness in your life. As much as mouthing off, these attitudes creep in and cause unbelief and cause you not to be able to believe God and disqualify you. Look what it says in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When I hear God's will, it comes into my heart grabs it, and faith comes. Look what God says about us. This is God's Word speaking to you. Colossians 1, 21 and 22 says, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, through his cross. He died so that I could be reconciled. When I was an enemy, he died for me to present me. It doesn't stop there, because there's a day coming when you're going to be presented to the throne of God. And right now, you are in this position, whether you feel like it or whether you don't, whether you deserve it or whether you don't deserve it, because you've just been naughty as can be. This is what he says, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Holy, blameless, and above reproach. What does that mean? Well, holy means whole, W-H-O-L-E. Nothing broken, nothing missing. You're altogether perfect. God is holy. And you have been made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. Not whether you feel it or look it or even act it. This is your position now by the blood. You didn't earn it. It was a gift when you said yes to Jesus. Blameless. What does blameless mean? Oh, it means not guilty. Free from guilt. So you know all those guilt feelings you have all day long? You know those feelings? Never good enough, not this, didn't do that, should have done this. Oh, this isn't right. Guilt. Guess what? Blameless means you are not guilty and you can live a guilt-free life. Whether I do or not depends on whether I believe this or not and act like it. Casting off the works of darkness. Are you seeing this? Listen, casting off the works of darkness, girls, is not just not swearing anymore. Okay? It's not just not sleeping with your boyfriend. Now, that's all stuff you're not supposed to do anymore, and you're going to feel real bad when you do it. But this is other stuff. Because once that stuff starts to get off of you, now comes the inner workings of the heart. And now God needs to renew my mind and change my nature. And that means he's got to change my pattern of thinking. Because if I don't know I'm whole, I'm not going to act like I'm whole. If I don't know that I'm not guilty and free of guilt, then I'm going to continually go back or feel bad about something I've done that I can't change and I can't go back and undo it. The word's already come out of my mouth. The fight's already been given. The attitude's already been spewed. Are you hearing me? He says, holy, blameless, and above reproach. Do you know what that word means, above reproach? It means good and honest and upright. So good as to preclude any possibility of criticism. Good and honest and upright. So good as to preclude any possibility of criticism. Now, what about your own self-criticism? You see, until you stop that and cast that off as a work of darkness, you are going to be ineligible and you are going to disqualify yourself for the power of God and the faith of God and the kingdom of God. Are you hearing me? Listen, this is revelation. This is where we change and we grow. But God, I just blew it. I just had a tenant. I preached on her last 2 weeks ago about generosity. She didn't pay her rent. I was going to evict her. And then God got a hold of me and said, you have a generous heart. Let it go. So, okay, God, I'm letting it go. So then I finally go to the house. Empty, yay. And then the water's turned off. Because there's a huge water bill that never got paid and everything's dead. So once again, I want to kill the tenant. Flunked the generosity and love test. But you see, when I live above reproach, when I realize I've blown it and I say, God, I'm sorry. And I'm transparent and it moves on. God help me next time not to blow it. You see, then the kingdom comes into my life, changes me, gives me grace because point three. So number one, I got to wake up. Why? Because he's waiting for me. He knows me. He knows me. And he's waiting. Get up, child. Wake up. You're letting the darkness overwhelm you. You're letting the fog of this world actually come in so that you can't see clearly and you're in this half, you're half awake and you're half asleep, that place in sleep where, you know, you're not dreaming, you're not sleeping, but you're not awake yet. He's saying, wake up because I'm waiting. He says, tomb. He says, cast off the works of darkness. Don't disqualify yourself with the wrong thinking of who you are. You are holy, blameless, and above reproach. He gives grace to change. When you blow it, understand that his grace, his power in me to do what his truth demands of me. Will I let him down? Yes. Will you let God down? Of course you will. But that's where if you repent, if you say, God, I'm sorry. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So how do you cast off the works of darkness? You know that you are holy, blameless, and good. Above reproach, whether you feel like it or not. You understand that you're going to blow up, but when grace comes, it gives you the power to do what you couldn't do before. And you repent quickly. When you screw up like I did, you say, God, I did it again. Forgive me, God. I'm so mad at myself. But he says, let's move on. You're growing. Are you with me? Last one. We're going to quit for today. Oh, I always preach too long. Three, talking about waking up, casting off the works of darkness. This is the last one from this passage of Scripture. He says, wake up. Let's read it one more time. Romans chapter 13. Let me give it to you again. I don't know if you can put it up on the overhead. And do this knowing the time that now it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day. Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Wake up, cast off the works of darkness, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, God, how do I put you on? Just a couple of thoughts. Wake up, because I'm loved, and he's waiting. He knows me. No matter what I'm at, what age, doesn't matter what station in life, he knows me. Cast off the works of darkness. Don't disqualify yourself. You are holy, blameless, and above reproach. Look at your neighbor and say, I am. Say, I am holy, blameless, and above reproach, whether I look like it or not. Number three, put on, he says, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean, to put it on? Well, gosh, we're women. How many times do you change clothes during the day? How many times do you put something on? Shoes, makeup. What do? You put it on or you take it off, right? So just a thought, just a tool. What does that mean to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? I just wanted to read you in the Message Bible a psalm that's one of my favorites, because I think if I remember this, if this walks with me every day, then this is going to help me remember that I have put on Jesus Christ and he has put me on. Because it's not just me putting him on. He wears me as much as I wear him. Psalm 84 in the Message Bible, verse 5 says, how blessed are those in whom you live, speaking of God, whose lives become roads you travel. How blessed are they, are those whom you live, in whom you live, whose lives become roads you travel. Who's it talking about? Who's it talking about right there? It's talking about the psalmist who's writing it and God. You are a road that God travels in. Isn't that a beautiful thought? He puts you on. He wears you. He wears me. And I wear him. Christ in me. Colossians chapter 1. The hope of glory. So, how do I consciously get this in my mind? I've got to remember that I'm never alone. Listen to what it says. How blessed are those in whom you live, whose lives become roads you travel. They wind through lonesome valleys, come upon brooks, discover cool springs, and pools brimming with rain. God traveled these roads, curve up the mountain, and at the last turn, Zion. God in full view. God of the angel armies, listen. O God of Jacob, open your ears, I'm praying. Look at our shields, they're glistening in the sun. Our faces shining with your gracious anointing. One day spent in your house, this beautiful palace of worship, beats thousands spent on Greek island beaches. I'd rather scrub floors in the house of my God than be honored as a guest in the palace of sin. All sunshine and sovereign is God, generous in gifts and glory. He doesn't skimp with his traveling companions. It's smooth sailing all the way with God of the angel armies. Remember, just like you put on your clothes, just like you put on your makeup, just like you put on deodorant, just like you put on whatever it is that you put on, undergarments, shoes. When it's raining, you put on your raincoat. When it's cold, you put on your sweatshirt. When you get out of bed in the morning, you put on clothes. You don't run around naked. You clothe yourself. Let's remember every morning, that we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as much as I put him on, he slips into me and wears me. And I am a road that he travels on and in and through. And that right now, even though I don't feel like it, you know, there's a foolishness of preaching, Paul writes about. Sometimes I feel like the biggest fool up here. Sometimes I feel like you fill in the blanks. But since when does feelings have anything to do with faith? It has not one thing to do with what God says, what I feel. I am a road that he travels through, in, and on. And so are you. He puts you on every day so that he can move his kingdom power and his love and his purposes through your life. Whether you feel like you're doing anything or not. Whether you feel like anybody knows you're alive or not. Whether you feel like your life has value or it doesn't have value. Whether you feel like you are doing anything worthwhile. God, I'm just raising these kids. God, I'm just this. God, I'm just that. God, I'm not on a mission field over here. I'm not over here witnessing like Sister So-and-so. I'm not over here. No, but you know what? If you're doing what God called you to do, maybe it's just raising those kids. Maybe it's getting up every morning and putting your makeup on and putting a smile on your face when you could be depressed. Maybe it's getting your little butt to church so that you can hear the word of God. That's what God asked you to do that day. See, when you do what he's asking you to do, then it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or what you think. What matters is what he told you to do, and you do it because he's wearing you and he's walking in you and he puts you on. And the enemy will do everything in his power to make you feel like you are worthless, like you are doing nothing and you're wasting your life. But I'm here to tell you, Paul said, Christians, he said this to the church at Rome, a persecuted church. Many of them slaves in Caesar's palace. Many of them with a death sentence on their heads. He said, wake up. Wake up, church. He's waiting. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. It's about to dawn. He's coming. It's all going to happen. Wake up. Greet the day because he wants to wear you. He wants to walk through you. He knows you, so cast off the works of darkness. Don't disqualify yourself from the power that is available to you. Heaven is waiting to give you what you need. Wake up. Cast off the works of darkness and put on Jesus Christ, making no provision. You're more valuable than you know. More full of purpose than you can even dream. When I was at my mom's, I saw a picture of my great-grandfather, Sigrid. Man, he was a burly-looking guy from Norway. He looked mean and he looked scary. And there was his name, Sig Larsen. And you know what? If he hadn't had the courage to come to America and work and do what he did, whether he was a good man or a bad man, I don't know. But I know he's my great-great-grandfather. And I know that if he hadn't come, I wouldn't be here today. I owe him something. You hearing me? There's somebody in your past that you owe. It's called your parents, whether they were good or bad. They got you here. And there's people in your future that are going to be grateful that you did what you did for God. Whether you feel like it was worthy or not, they will. You know that your life counts and that you have value beyond anything this earth can comprehend. So, Father, I thank you now in the name of Jesus. May this word be sealed in our hearts. May we put you on. May we act like we are holy, blameless, and above reproach. May self-criticism cease. And may we be aware of it, Lord, so that we stop it. It's become such a comfortable habit of false humility in our lives. And may we know, Lord, that whatever season we're in, there's great value and great reward according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.